What's good, party people? It's your boy Sway Mac back in the house. Man, it's been a while since we've done a podcast, so I'm happy to kind of be back and talk some UFC. What a card to start off with, man, to start the year off with. UFC 257, a huge banger. We got the rematch between Dustin the Diamond Poirier and Conor McGregor, you know, the Mac Man, the Mystic Man. So this is going to be a good card. We got 11 fights as I record this right now. So without further ado, let's get to it, huh? All right. So to start off the card here, I guess to just kind of give you a little bit of insight, we don't have too many fights that have real big inside the distance odds. Now, I like that because that means we're not going to get a lot of people that are going to target the fights that we do simply because they see the odds on it. Right. So hopefully that'll help us out there. There's a couple, but really, I mean, there's really only about two, maybe three. Other than that, the rest, Vegas isn't really giving away. And I think there's some fights that we definitely want to target. So, yeah, first fight of the night, we have a flyweight fight. It's going to be Amir Albazi going up against Zalgas Zamugulov. This is, pretty much a pick'em here, guys. Pretty much a pick'em. Amir Albazi is coming in at 7,900. Zamugulov is coming in at 8,300. Both are honestly pretty cheap. I think if you're playing cash this week, and I'm probably going to end up playing some cash this week, but there's a lot of value plays, and so that does make cash pretty interesting. But Amir Albazi 7,900. He's probably going to be a pretty decent cash play just because of the price and because he's probably going to give you three rounds of work. Regardless, you know, this is one of the reasons why I don't necessarily like this for DraftKings. That's why I don't really like Zamugulov, because I think this is probably going to go to a decision. I mean, sure, they might put up a bunch of significant strikes or something like that, but I'm just really not seeing a path to a super high score. You know, and I like these curtain jerkers, but for this card, I'm probably going to try to get away with fading this fight for the most part. I might have a little bit of Albazi just because he's cheap. But I don't see myself getting there in a whole bunch. I'm probably going to play about 50 to 60 lineups this week. Okay, and as we move on here, we have the OG Nick Lentz going up against Mavzir Evloff. Man, 9,400 for Evloff. He's definitely the favorite here at currently minus 560, according to the DK Sportsbook. And he should really style here. Nick Lentz, super cheap, might be the cheapest that we have at 6,800. Yeah, I mean, this should be a one-sided fight. Like I said, Evloff really should be able to style. He should be able to dominate here. I don't really see a finish. However, I do see this being a three-round, kind of just pop him, move out the way, just being able to get the better of the exchanges. But I'll say this, he's going to give us a lot of significant strikes, I believe, and a lot of strikes, period. So he might be somewhat popular. Him being the most expensive fighter, though, I'm going to hope that he isn't the outright highest scorer of the night. And for that reason, I'm going to not have that much of him. I'll probably have about 25 to 30% of this guy, but that's probably going to be it. I do think he can probably put up a high score, though, but at 9,400, I'm just going to hope that he doesn't. Because at this point, you know, we're playing big tournaments. We're trying to win tournaments. We're trying to bink, you know, as far as MMA is concerned, there's a fine line even in cashing and then kind of taking down these tournaments. You know, the scores can be lopsided sometimes. Sometimes they can be real close. But at the end of the day, you kind of want to shoot for the stars and then land on the moon type of thing, worst case scenario. So we want to shoot for these high scores, for these finishes, for this kind of stuff. In the worst case scenario, you know, maybe it doesn't work out all the way, but if it does work out more times than not, we should still see ourselves in Greenland. So I do think he's probably going to be a decent cash play as well. Minus 560, he's more than likely he's pretty safe to get that dub and probably to give you about 80 or so. GPPs, he's definitely going to be the pick, but for personal, I'm just going to have less than hopefully the field does. But yeah, he's definitely the play here. All right, next up we have Marcin Prachnio going up against Khalil Roundtree. Roundtree currently is the minus 335 favorite. He is 9,300 on DraftKings. Prachnio is coming back at 6,900. So we got some real expensive fighters to start the card off and then some super cheap fighters to start the card off. Look, man, this kid Prachnio, man, it's no secret that he's been knocked out in pretty much every one of his fights. We really should be seeing more of the same here, to tell you the truth. Should be seeing more of the same here. I do think that Roundtree is not, he's not really the sharpest, not really the cleanest, man. He's really not the most impressive fighter. But he should be able to get this done here. Usually when he's facing guys less competition, or that really just shouldn't be in there, he usually does what he needs to do. So I do think he's really live for the KO here. I'm gonna be targeting him here as my pivot to Evilev, but still he's really expensive, 9,300. He's gonna eat up a lot of your salary. So I'm not sure how much of him I'll have, but I'm definitely gonna try to get a bunch of them. I do like him here. This one also has a minus 400 inside the distance prop. So for that reason, I think if you're gonna play a bunch of Roundtree, which I am, you probably want to have about 5 to 7% Prachnio. So for example, if you're playing a handful of lineups and you want to go ahead and throw Roundtree in two or three, you definitely want to play Prachnio in one as a hedge. All right, and next up, we have a very interesting fight. We have Juliana Pena going up against Sarah McMahon. This is a really close fight as far as Vegas is concerned. Also, a really close fight as far as the pricing is concerned. Both girls right there at about 8K. Juliana Pena is currently the dog, so we have McMahon here as the favorite at minus 130. That is currently. And yeah, man, this is really a sneaky GPP fight. I think this one has the possibility of ending early. And the reason why is because I think if you look at as far as their path to victory, she's Juliana Pena. I mean, it's been a long time, but she's got some KO wins over some cans. She's got some KO victories. But for the most part, she's kind of gonna try to stand there, do her thing, and try to kind of pop and shop, I call it. Try to pop, move around, not take too many shots. So I just think as far as this fight is concerned, she's either gonna have to knock Meatball out, or she's gonna get ground and pounded, man. Like that, I'm pretty sure that's what's gonna happen. I could be wrong, but that's kind of what my spidey sense is going with. Now, I'm not going to overplay this fight. I'm not gonna have a super amount of it, but I do think it is a sneaky GPP fight and one that you can target more so on Molly McCann side. She's only 8,200. Juliana Pena is 8K, and I do think McCann has got she's got a path to victory that can lead to a high score. I can see her putting up a bunch of significant strikes, landing a bunch of takedowns, getting a first round finish or a second round finish, and getting a bunch of strikes that way. But on the flip side, if Juliana Pena is able to win this fight, it's because she is going to be peppering up Molly McCann on the outside. I'm sorry, Sarah McCann on the outside. It's because she's gonna be kind of popping her. She's not gonna be able to let Sarah McCann get on the inside and take her down. And Juliana Pena is just gonna be able to just kind of pick her shots. She's going to have to hit her with a bunch of significant strikes and a bunch of strikes and probably put her down to win this fight. Otherwise, Sarah McCann is gonna do what she does. And my apologies for calling her Molly. Just looking at my little thing here. But yeah, Sarah McCann is she's gonna be able to do her thing and get this to the ground, and then she's probably gonna be able to ground and pound this from there, man, to tell you the truth. So that's how I'm gonna play it. I will have probably about 20-25% of Sarah McCann. If you're playing about a handful of lineups, I think she's definitely worth a play in one to two of your lineups. And then I probably wouldn't even play Pena in the other one, if you're just playing a handful. If you're playing anything more than that, like 10 or so, then definitely go ahead and throw Pena in one as a hedge. All right, and next up we move on to the middle of the card kind of here. We have Antonio Carlos Jr. going up against Brad Tavares. This is going to be in the middleweight division. Antonio Carlos Jr. is coming in as the dog here. He's pretty cheap at 7,500. Brad Tavares is 8,700. Now I say he's the dog, but this is a pick'em to tell you the truth. This one's a pick'em as far as Vegas is concerned right now as well. And here's the deal with this fight. I honestly am I'm liking Carlos Jr. here. I think he's live for a sub, and I really think he's live for a first round sub. He's super aggressive in those first couple of minutes. He's going to try to get this to the ground or maybe get to Tavares's back or something like that. I also think he's going to be a pretty popular underdog here. I put air quotes in there as far as underdog, just because of the pricing. But I do think he's going to be pretty popular here. You know, and Tavares's his takedown defense is actually pretty decent, you know what I mean? As far as an open space is concerned. I'm concerned about what happens when they're not in open space. And then I'm concerned if he's going to be able to actually shake this dude off of his back or shake him off of him, get up, that kind of thing. Now, if this gets past the first round, you know, Carlos Jr., we'll see if he's able to turn up after that first round, because I do think that Tavares is pretty tough and he'll probably be able to weather a first round, or at least, you know, a couple of minutes. But he's got some, you know, he's coming in off of that knockout loss to Edmund Shabazian, coming in on back-to-back losses. And it's just not, you know, it's just not, this is really a tough matchup for him. I actually just read something, and Carlos Jr. actually asked for this matchup. So it's interesting that he's cheaper. So he's definitely going to be the play here. If you want to go ahead and hedge with some Tavares, you can. But I don't think he's got the ability to finish this in the first or second round. And I think that's what we're going to need in this card. We're going to need some early finishes. Hopefully, maybe we can get some bonuses from one or two of these guys. But yeah, I mean, we're gonna have to kind of pick and choose our spots. This one, I'm going with Carlos Jr. All right, next up, and this one had a lot of kind of turmoil throughout the last couple of days. We had both of their fights canceled. Then basically they put them up against each other, and you know, here we are for you know, the very, very simple the very, very simple story. But yeah, basically, you know, this is a very one-sided matchup. As I look at it right now, Teskergian is -670. So we got Armin Teskergian, sorry about that, 8900, -670. And then on the flip side, you got Matt Frivola, you know, 7400 on DraftKings. And this is honestly a worse matchup than it was for him before. I'm not liking Matt Frivola at all. He is really tough, and so, you know, I could see you maybe taking some shots and hoping that he just takes a bunch of shots and doesn't go out. But you know, the dude's been clipped before, and he kind of gets hit a lot. So this is gonna be a pretty interesting fight. You know, the one against Luis Pena, that one really could have went either way. But you know, this is just a tough matchup for him. I do think he's probably going to end up taking a lot of shots here. I do believe Teskergian is going to be very popular because of his pricing at 8900, and I don't blame people. I'm probably going to have about 35 to 40% myself, and that's just how I think that's probably just how you have to play it to be safe. So if you're making a handful of lineups, you probably want him in just about one under half, or just about less than half of your lineups. Then if you want to throw Frivola in one of those lineups, one of your other lineups for a hedge, I don't mind it, just because I do think he's going to be like sub 10% owned, and he somehow comes out and does this. You might win some big money putting him in a lineup, so go for it. All right, and as we move on here, we have Marina Rodriguez going up against Amanda Ribas. You guys probably remember Amanda Ribas. If not, you should. All she does is win, man. She put up pretty big scores. I think she'll probably end up putting a decent score up this time as well. She's basically, you know, over 90 in all of her wins. She's got one win over Mackenzie Dern that she put up 77 points in. That was a decision. But she's also putting up 94 points, 99 points. I'm sorry, 94.5 points in decision wins. She had basically 100 in a submission win against Emily Whitmire in her first fight. And then, you know, she subbed out Paige VanZant, that fraud, in the first round. So, I mean, I honestly think that she's going to be pretty popular. She's currently the -335 favorite. She's 9,200. Marina Rodriguez is 7,000. Marina Rodriguez has actually got a lot of talent, man, you know. And this is a sneaky fight too. Her takedown defense is just like real bad. It's awful. And that's what Amanda Ribas's game is. She's her clear path to victory. She's gonna look for a takedown, keep her down, smash her out, or tap her out. Like that's it. On the flip side, Rodriguez, I mean, if she somehow has taken care of like just a little bit of that takedown defense and she can keep the standing, oh, she's live. I'm telling you, she's live. You know, she's really even in a decision, I could see her putting up a gang of significant strikes and just peppering up Ribas the whole time. You know what I'm saying? If she puts up 80 points, 75, 80 points at 7K, on this card, that might be optimal, to tell you the truth. So definitely worth some shots there. But Amanda Ribas is going to be the play. And this is going to be kind of a sneaky fight to target. So I'm taking Ribas. If you're playing a handful of lineups, go ahead and throw Ribas in one or two. And then I probably wouldn't even worry about Rodriguez. Anything more than 5, 10, go ahead and play Ribas the kind of that same way in about 10, about, you know, 20% of your lineups, 25% of your lineups. Go ahead and throw Rodriguez in one of your lineups as a hedge as well. All right. And as we move on here, only about 4 fights left. We have Andrew Sanchez going up against Mahmoud Murdoff. Oh, man, Murdoff, you know, that's the money team, baby. That's Floyd Mayweather's protege. Seen him fight a couple of times, actually, in the UFC. And, you know, he KO'd Trevor Smith in the 3rd round, put up a huge score, actually, not huge, but, like, he put up 108. That's, you know, that won people tournaments. But against Alessio DiCirico, he did only put up 57 points, but that was his UFC debut. He looked a little tight. And DiCirico's tough. I mean, you know, we just saw DiCirico finish Buckley. I'm pretty sure he just beat the hell out of Jacquin Buckley last week. So, I mean, you know, we got to – this is going to be a good fight here. This is actually the only other fight I believe that has a pretty decent – oh, there's another one – inside the distance prop at minus 115. That's really not even anything significant. I think that might keep some people off of it, honestly, because it's not higher. You got Murdoff as the minus 182 favorite, and I actually really, really like him here. I think Andrew Sanchez is going to come in off of a lot of hype because he's, you know, he just KO'd Wellington Turman, and it was pretty nice to put up 114 points. But, you know, historically, he's just not going to give you that, really. He did beat Khalil Roundtree way back in 2016 and put up 90 points. Other than that, he hadn't put up anything more than an 85, you know, since 2017. You know what I'm saying? Then he took that L to Marvin Vettori, which looked really bad. And then, you know, he beat Turman. I just am not liking it here, and I think he's going to be pretty popular. I'll have some shares, but I am really going to bank on Murdoff being able to kind of take care of business here. Probably going to have about 30, 35, 40% of this guy, and I'll live and die with what he does. I just think we get the discount at 8,600 on DraftKings. And, I mean, you know, I think he'll probably still be about 25% owned or so. 25, 30% owned or so. I want to be about right there. All right, next up we have Pick'em here. We got Jessica Eye going up against Joanne Calderwood. Let's see, we got Calderwood here at 8,400, Jessica Eye at 7,800. Honestly, this is a close fight for a reason. Jessica Eye is going to be a popular dog as well here. You know, as I say dog again at 7,800, but she's going to be popular here. I honestly think she's probably going to be able to get this done. I think she's just a little bit better than Calderwood everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, Calderwood is just, now when she wins, she's probably going to give you over 90. Like, so I'm going to be playing her for that reason. She's 8,400. She's cheap. If she beats Jessica, especially with these new significant strikes and striking points that seem to be, you know, definitely targeting strikers. You know, she's definitely going to be in play here. She could put up a huge score if this is a strike fest. So I definitely am going to have her in play. But I just think Jessica is probably going to be able to get the job done here. You know, I just think she's a little bit better everywhere. You know, Calderwood hasn't, you know, she's fought the Chukagians. She did lose to Chukagian. You know, she beat KGB Lee. You know what I mean? She's got some decent wins, but man, you know, she just, that loss to Jennifer Maya was bad. She got subbed out pretty quick. And I'm all about kind of the form. And, you know, it's like, what was she able to do between that time frame? You know what I'm saying? You know, I just don't really like it. I don't really like it. But like I said, every time she wins, she puts up a big score. I do think Jessica is going to be popular because this is such a close fight here and because she's got more paths to victory. I just think she's going to be able to land the harder shots, land more shots, probably land every 2 or 3 to Calderwood's one. I just think Calderwood's going to be slow in there. She's going to be kind of watching too much. I also don't think her head's in the game. So this will be a pretty interesting fight. All right, next up in the co-main event here, we have Dan Hooker going up against Michael Chandler. Michael Chandler, this can be his first fight in the UFC. This one is a -134 inside the distance prop. And I actually do think this is going to be a really, really good fight. Dan Hooker, people are obviously going to remember his last fight when he got dropped. When he lost to Dustin Poirier. But dude, this motherfucker put up 97 points in that fight. He lost and put up 97 points. He landed 155 significant strikes. That was a night where people in GPPs got lucky because they played both of them and they put up like 200 points. You know what I'm saying? It was pretty nuts. And rare, so don't do it in GPPs. In cash, do it. Don't do it in GPPs. But yeah, man, just really, really crazy. He's at 8,500. We can get a pretty big score from him from 8,500, so he's gonna be pretty popular. Michael Chandler at 7,700. I actually really like him too. Tell you why. I think he's gonna be able to get this to the ground. I think he's gonna be able to take Hooker down, and then I think he might be able to keep him there. He's a little chinny, I think, yes, but also I think he's got the hand, specifically that right hand. If he can catch Hooker with that right hand early, pepper him up early a little bit, get him looking at different angles, get him looking at different things, I think that's how he gets that takedown. If he gets that takedown, I'm not sure we'll be able to get the finish from there. We might, but if we can get 3 rounds of that, that's going to be a high enough score at 7,700 to make him optimal. Now, on the flip side, Dan Hooker, he's got the range, he's got the offensive skills. I mean, he can target, like he's got all the tools, the length, the reach, everything you need, and as far as this matchup is concerned, to be able to land those knees, land those punches, and land everything from range that he needs to. And so I really, really like him here because I do think he can possibly put Michael Chandler away. I also think his takedown defense is actually all right, and so he might be able to stuff these takedown attempts. And then what is Michael Chandler going to do? Because he does not want to keep it standing for 3 rounds. So this is definitely a target fight as well. I'm going to lean Chandler because of pricing, but this is close to an all-in fight pretty much, guys. I mean, it's going to be pick or choose one of these guys. And I'm pretty sure either one is going to be optimal here. I'm going to lean Chandler, but I'll definitely have my Hooker shares as well. All right, next up in the main event, we have Conor McGregor going up against Dustin Poirier. Poirier 7,100, Conor McGregor 9,100. McGregor currently the -335 favorite, -455 inside the distance prop. Look, if you haven't seen it by now, Conor McGregor, this is going to be their second fight. Conor McGregor knocked this dude out real quick in the first round, basically called his shot too, told him he was going to catch him with that left hand, and indeed I think it was that left hand. Anyway, he said he was going to catch him, and he caught him pretty much the same way he said he would. I can't believe I can't remember. I just literally saw it, but yeah, and I just this matchup, even though it's so, it's been 5 or 6 years removed. Man, I think it's pretty much more of the same, man. Like, I'm pretty sure he's gonna touch Dustin's chin early, and I don't know if Dustin's gonna be able to handle that power, man. Dustin's been in too many wars lately, man. Now, at the same time, Dustin Poirier is a dog. He's the alpha of the dogs, you know what I mean, when it comes to the fight game and staying in fights and just never giving up and that kind of thing. We've seen him beat Max Holloway and all these kinds of fighters lately. So, I mean, this guy's a great fighter. I believe if he is able to withstand that, those first 2, 3, 4 minutes, that first round, Dustin Poirier is going to give Conor McGregor some trouble. I believe in that first round, though, Dustin's in trouble. Dustin's going to be in trouble in that first round. He's going to have to withstand that storm in that first round because McGregor wants it and he wants it early. And that's where most of my ownership is going to go. Probably going to have about 60% Conor McGregor. Then on the flip side, I'm probably going to come back with about 40% Dustin Poirier. And that's how I'm going to play it this week. This is an all-in fight, 100%. No matter what you do, you pick one or the other in every single one of your lineups. And then you move on. And that's how we're going to play it. Now, if you're playing cash this week, I'll talk more about it in the group. But if you're playing cash this week, like I said, stack the main event, move on. There's definitely some picks that we talked about. But yeah, I'll talk more about that as far as in the chat with my guys. So yeah, make sure to get in there if you want to be able to ask me questions, all that kind of stuff. Be sure to DM me I'll show you how to get in there. It's real easy. And yeah, let's make some money. But that's it for the Hammer Fist. It's your boy, Sway Max Sr., UFC 257, McGregor versus Poirier. Let's get it.